Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We're going to be ranking a game we nominated for ourselves, Oregon Trail Deluxe.
Basically, your whole goal is to get from Missouri to Oregon.
If you get to the end, it doesn't matter how much of your family dies as long as you're there, right?
Well, it actually does matter if you're playing for score, because having everyone is about 2,000 points.
It's 1992, I'm in the computer lab at my school. What I'm playing for is to not be reading or doing anything else. So I'm playing, for that. And then also you get to leave funny tombstones when your kids die. So that's like the real reward of the game, is when your kid dies of dysentery, you get to say like, Boogerman died of dysentery.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, you'll lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dogs Bower. Hey, Dogs Bower. Hey, Dogs Bower. Hey, Dogs Bower.
I don't know.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. On this show, we're going to be talking about South Park, The Stick of Truth. And with me to talk about this game, we've got...
I'm Jeff, the Electric Viking. Hello.
I'm Expert 74. Happy to be here.
Do you mind if we call you Expert?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
Just joking. Strictly speaking, I'm Electric Viking 78 in some places, but I tend to just admit that now.
Yes.
All right.
And I'm Xerxes 6969.
There you go. Woo! Yeah!
Lit.
The drug number.
Funny number. One of two funny numbers. Yeah. 69, 420, 420 Xerxes 69.
And speaking of middle school jokes, South Park, the stick South of Park. Truth.
So, yeah, this game was nominated by Douche Flute. Big surprise there.
That's great.
I believe Douche Flute is ranked up to Commander Douche Flute at this point.
I see.
It was developed by THQ, and then who took over after that?
I think Ubisoft wound up publishing it ultimately, if I'm not mistaken. But
it was developed by Obsidian, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, Obsidian developed. Yeah.
Developed by Obsidian, was going to be published by THQ, but then it got blowed up, and now it's it was published by Ubisoft.
Right.
And we don't have we don't have any of the information for this. It's almost like. You think I could have looked at this and checked it out in like the 45 minutes it took us to get to this point?
It was a 2014.
I have
game.
The Wikipedia page open.
Trying to remember the month.
Go for it.
So just the release date, that was March 4th, 2014. It came out on PS3, 360, and PC. And then later on, it got ported to PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch.
Huh.
Yeah. So...
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I mean, by the time it actually came out, it was probably originally supposed to come out in something like 2012.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the year THQ closed down.
You can tell by the number of Skyrim references in the game
that's when a lot of the script was written in 2011 or 2010. Well, maybe it was originally going to come out in 2013, or maybe they rewrote a lot of the jokes.
Suffice to say, this game was delayed for a variety of reasons, and then THQ imploded.
I think there were a few TV show episodes that were about A Stick of Truth. I haven't watched them, but I think they were designed to tie into the video game, but they ended up airing like a year or two before the game came out because of all the delays.
Yeah. So I guess people all over the world, if you can understand English and are listening to the show, you probably know something about South Park, but basically it's a show that's been on since like the very late 90s, I think.
97, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not even the very late 90s. Wow. It's a ribald romp about foul-mouthed children in a fictional Colorado town. And they have topical comedic adventures.
Yes, ripped from the headlines. Escapades, yeah.
With political commentary.
Yep. Yeah, so telling you all about the stuff you shouldn't do, like voting. That's for suckers.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Now, I mean, I don't know. We can talk very, very briefly about like the cultural import of South Park. It is like a thing that continues, maybe less so now, but it always surprises you when it comes back into like the mainstream, where something that happens in South Park becomes like it catches on.
Like it seemed like every year, like I don't know if it was at like the start of their like internal seasons or whatever, they'd have like a real big lead episode that'd be like, oh my god, like this character is gay now, or they're having an election, or pick your, again, kind of topical social issue that they decided to comment on, the World of Warcraft episode. There you go.
They had that one season, I think season 6, where they decided to have Kenny stay dead for an entire season, and they wrote their storylines around Kenny being dead, like actually permanently dead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the running joke is, at least in the early seasons, it was like Kenny would die every episode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, I swear, you can pretty much make out exactly what he's saying at all times, which
was not the case.
Yeah, originally you could only hear like some of what he's saying, and the joke was always that whatever they were muffled, Kenny's voice was saying was always going to be incredibly filthy. You
know? Yeah, Charlie Brown parent sort of thing.
Yeah,
but
so
working blue.
Yeah, it's... Right. So anyway, it's an RPG, and it's very much, it looks you probably have to know what South Park is on some level, but it's a very like, it's intentionally cheap looking as a show, and the animation is not, it's on purpose. And the game for that reason can look exactly like the show. Like if you watch somebody play through the game, it looks like the show. Like it's really, it's shocking. And it sounds just like the show, 'cause it was written by the people who write the show, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Mm-hmm. And also some guy named Eric Fenstermaker, according to Wikipedia, but yeah. And the game is shockingly true to the show in a lot of ways.
For better or worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they drop more F-bombs in the game than they can on even cable television. It's like one of the few remaining things they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, it kind of seems less funny for that reason. Like I always like it when they like bleep out the F word on the show.
Yeah. Or like, you know, when they take a tool out of, your toolbox or whatever, and you have to find some way around it, it can lead to some like creative solutions that are more funny than just like doing the thing. Like,
yeah, right. I mean,
the implication is more unfunny than just the thing itself.
Right. Yeah.
In some cases. So,
so the game though is interesting because unlike, what you think is that unlike pretty much every South Park game that came before, and there were more than one, surprisingly, and games that probably came out when the show was at its most popular. This game is actually pretty good. It's like, it's a pretty good RPG.
I like it.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
I think as far as licensed games go, I think it's comparable to something like Batman Arkham Asylum. Like for me personally, I don't care about Batman or any superheroes in general, but I had a ton of fun playing through Arkham Asylum. I thought it was great on its own terms and not just as a Batman game. So like that, I think The Stick of Truth is very fun to play, in spite of the fact that I'm no longer a South Park fan. Like, I have some gripes with its writing, but the core game mechanics work very well, like Paper Mario, but with more numbers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What do you think, Jeff?
I mean, the Paper Mario thing is kind of apt. It's a fairly, like, stripped down JRPG in a lot of ways. I wouldn't call it necessarily deep or a complicated or difficult game to get through, but like what options they have there have some like interesting, like, oh, they put thought into this. It's not just a, like, they could have fairly easily made this like a Dragon Quest I-esque, like, just get to level 26 and you will beat the final boss. Like, that is all there is to it. And yeah, there's a couple options. The classes that you can choose from have some like risk reward sort of mechanics baked into how they operate. Like, it's surprisingly thoughtful, like way more thoughtful than you would expect from South Park RPG.
Well, there's environmental interaction too, and I thought that was pretty well done.
Yeah,
it's got some like quasi adventure game elements in it as well, like how you like get past like certain areas and stuff like that. Like, early on, there's like a security guard you got to get past, right? There's like a sort of a little bit of a trick to it. It's not like a serious adventure game type thing, but it is, it shows that, that the people who made the game really wanted to make a good game. They didn't just want to make a cash in. What they could have done very easily is you put out this game, for mobile, you know, for smartphones or something like that. It would look pretty much the same. And, you could throw in a bunch of microtransactions and it would probably make more money than this game did. And, you know, you could like update it with like new episodes. It would be really easy, but I don't think they did that because the people who, I think that the South Park creators in particular really wanted to make, you can tell that they're gamers, at least one of them is. And,
although strangely enough, they didn't know what Mega Man was. They had a season one episode where they had a Power Rangers ripoff called Ultra Mega Mega Man, and they found out after the fact that Mega Man is a thing that exists. That surprised me.
I think they're mostly PC gamers, and probably always have been. But or it could be that they just came in and started playing games much later, like after they started making money.
That's possible. They were busy making Cannibal the Musical when all that
stuff happened. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's like, I can understand that, but I really think the only way you could avoid knowing that Mega Man was a thing is if you only played PC games, which some people did. And, you know, so it's like, it makes sense, but like they definitely know either that or, Eric Finstermeyermaker or whatever his name is the ultimate gamer. But I refuse to believe that because this game is such a tortured, development history that I think it could only have happened if the people who created South Park were like, no, this game will happen.
Yeah.
And like everything I've heard from behind the scenes says that that's true, that they really wanted to make this game good and they wanted it to come out no matter what.
Actually, I think that Matt and Trey were directly responsible for seeking out Obsidian to develop it. So I think they do have some knowledge of games based on that.
Yeah, you'd have to, I think.
And like, it's weird. This may be the most like technically sound Obsidian game ever made. I guess as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, oh wait, it's Obsidian. Like, yeah, all their shit's busted. Like, usually
kind of strange to think about.
Yeah.
I guess
like
yeah.
The New Vegas people made this.
Yeah. Oh man.
Which is, although its writing doesn't touch New Vegas in quality.
That's fair. Or I mean, they're just going for really different things, obviously. Like
the writing, the jokes and the tenor and everything, the tone of the entire thing is unquestionably South Park.
Yeah.
And I knew because I was starting to like get bored with it in exactly the same way I got bored with South Park.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I got sold on this game the year it came out and wound up playing it. And I think the last time I had elected to watch South Park prior to playing this game was maybe like 10 years prior. So it was like going to a not even high school, like a middle school reunion, basically, and like meeting that guy and being like, oh, we used to be really good friends. And it's like, oh, you're still funny. And then it's like, oh, ooh, you're still making those jokes. And it's like, well, it's been cool to see you, man. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This is kind of to me like the last, it may as well practically be the last episode of South Park like I'm ever gonna watch in some ways.
It's like, yeah, it's like half a season's worth of South Park
stuff. Plays on some, you know, some greatest hits. There's all your favorite characters are there, and they get one little cameo. But some of the best gags, I think, come from that. And this game does have humor in it. And a lot of it is like subjective South Park shit that doesn't really play in 2019 or 2014 or maybe ever. But there's like some timing gags that I thought was really good. Like just to like kind of spoil what the one that I think of when I think of this game. There's a sequence where you wind up inside of Mr. Slave. And
As you are
journeying through, much like Lemmy Winks did, you find a Mr. Hat puppet just discarded in some refuse. And you kind of wander on a little farther, and about, like, just long enough, like, two beats later, you get, like, a pop-up on your in-game cell phone that Mr. Hat has friended you. Like, just out of the blue. And, like, I chuckled at that for, like, longer than I probably should have. Like, it was genuinely funny, but it was a timing gag. And they had to do it in a game. Like, that sort of stuff lands, I think.
And that's hard to do, too.
Yes. Like you know. big applause for that. But
yeah, they do deserve credit for that.
But it's predicated on, like, it's funny because the gay guy in the butt.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff, if that doesn't appeal to you, like, this is going to be the same hard sell that the show kind of always
has. Well, I mean, I would say, like, if it grates on you in a way that would make you not enjoy a game that is otherwise pretty fun.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, don't try this out. But you can get it for pretty cheap, I'm sure, if you wait a couple months, it'll be on sale.
And honestly, as a former South Park fan, I watched like the first 10 or 11 seasons, and I know them, like, I've forgotten some things, but I still remember most of the major gags that they had. So from that perspective, when I played through The Stick of Truth, it felt kind of like, okay, I remember this joke, but I've seen it already. So they're not really doing anything new with it. They're just rehashing the same jokes.
Yeah. I think that's definitely true. I mean, it's clear that they're trying to make something that is a little bit fan servicey. And because it's South Park, the fan service is all like, hey, one of the character classes is Jew. Funny because, and it's just like, it's just not.
Well, from the perspective of fan service, I guess that's fair, but
no, it's like the show is, I'm not really in a position to say anything about it, but I don't think that it's not a particularly mean-spirited joke. The joke is always supposed to be, though, on the character of Cartman, who is not a playable character in this game, right? Like, I think it's the funny part of one of the funny parts of the game is that Cartman is like, so they're all playing, like, they're kind of LARPing, right? Yeah. All the kids in the game are LARPing.
Which, and again, you don't even see, like, on its face, kind of a funny premise, like.
Right. And they'd done episodes about this before where, and I think it worked pretty well in the show, and that's why they thought about doing it in the game. And so it's like they're LARPing like a Skyrim, Lord of the Rings type scenario where Cartman, the, like, you know, third grader Archie Bunker character in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most of our audience will understand that reference, but I'm not going to explain it.
That's fine.
I mean, that was, I think, explicitly the idea. It was like you couldn't do a character like that on TV anymore unless you made him a kid and it was a cartoon.
That's exactly it. They based him directly on Archie Bunker.
Yeah. So, like, the idea is, like, Cartman is supposed to be, like, his opinions are terrible. The things he says are bad. He's awful to his mother. Like, everything he can do wrong, he does wrong. Mm-hmm. But he kind of succeeds in a way through sheer assholery. Like, I think that's supposed to be the joke, is that he's, like, so. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too far into it, but anyway, the joke is that you're never supposed to be like, Cartman's awesome. That's don't think that is ever the point of the show. But in the game is like, so the funny thing is Cartman is always like, all right, go for it. And you're playing a character who is not in the show. It's only in the game. You're like the new kid in town. And it's kind of funny because when the game starts out, it's like you got the classic JRPG examples. Like, hey, what was your name anyway? And you're going to type your name in. And when you type your name in, oh, okay, douchebag. And they just call you douchebag no matter what you put in there. And it's pretty funny, I guess. It's like,
and
it's
this game was recommended by a douche flute, I think. Douche flute,
yeah. So it's, yeah, it's, like I said, if you find this kind of thing really, I mean, that's, I would say that's a pretty clever gag to do in the thing. Like,
sure.
it's like, it's, you know, you feel it's building, the game is at its best when it's playing off of your expectations from the genre.
Yeah. Like,
and
a couple highlights aside, I think there's a lot of stuff like that. That's like what I guess I don't know who taught me this, but I call it like surgery humor. It's like, stuff that, jokes you can listen to basically after you've had some sort of operation. That's like, not gonna like mess with your sutures basically. Like you'll be like, huh, and, just move on basically.
Yeah. Yeah,
low-impact comedy.
Yeah, it's like, it's, I mean, it's playing to its audience, and its audience is people who are both into South Park and people who like video games, which is, you know, there's a lot of overlap there, for better or worse. And not saying that, like, if you like South Park, you're a bad person, no. But I am saying that if you like video games, you're a bad person. And
definitely.
Yeah, definitely. We're all horrible people here. But it's trading on that stuff heavily, and I think that really works in a lot of ways. I gotta admit, I don't find this stuff funny, and it's not like a clutching my pearls, like I'm a woke person in 2019, and therefore I don't find any of this funny. It's more like I stopped finding it funny a long time ago because it's the same kind of joke over and over again. Like, there's only so many times, like, it just, I think there was an idea of like, hey, if you make jokes about somebody being anal probed, like at a certain point it becomes not funny, but then another point it becomes really funny if you keep going with it. And it's like, it never becomes funny. And it's not because like I find it objectionable. It's just not funny.
Yeah.
Like, they have a formula that they love to stick to.
I just don't, I don't like that. And I don't, it's again, it's not like a prudery thing for me. It's just like, I just don't find it funny. Like, it's not inherently funny. Like, oh, something's going up that dude's butt. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't, it's not shocking or funny or anything. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I liked it when I was like 15.
Sure.
But right. Today,
like, when I was years old and this show was like the most iconoclast thing in the universe, living in like North Dakota in 1997, South Park was amazing. And
there's things the show can 10. Do.
That's not actually what happened.
Sick burn.
I know, man. Burn clinic.
Yeah. So you get some gel on that burn.
Sorry about that.
It's more like, it's not like, I wouldn't say like I grew out of it. I just like, it just after a point, it's just not funny anymore. Cause it's the same. It's kind of like AC/DC, right? AC/DC put out the same, like when they were putting out records, they put out the same record every single time.
Yeah.
And if it were even a little bit different, you would balk in horror. How dare you, AC/DC, put out an album that does not rock in exactly the same rocking way that your last album rocked. And all your songs are like, kind of like, you know, eighth grade innuendo kind of titles and stuff like that. And that's exactly what you do. And if you do anything else, like, why even bother? Like, what is the point? And I think South Park is kind of a victim of that exact kind of success, where it's like, if you do anything else with the show, but there are things that the show and the game can do in that sense that other shows won't or can't do. And that's cool. I don't want to get too far into it. I'm just going to say, like, there are, it's hit or miss, but every now and then I'll check out a South Park episode. Like, oh, it's a topical thing that they've got a good take on that. It's not totally nihilistic and like burn it all down kind of thing. And that's good.
I still think Tally is kind of a funny idea.
Pretty funny. Yeah.
I remember that episode coming out and they were literally selling t-shirts halfway through the episode that said, I love how Tally or I hate Tally. Like, you could order either one. Like,
yeah.
Like, just like weird quasi-Dadaist nonsense that winds up being
the joke with
funny.
That character is that he was so bad that some people would find him so bad he's hilarious, and other people find him so bad, like, no, this is just terrible. And that was kind of like recognizing
like Poochie,
it's absolutely Poochie.
He just took over the show and all that stuff. And
so game,
yeah, the game. Anyway, like, it's hard to say, like, if you like the show, you should definitely check out the game. And even if you're not like a huge fan of the show, like, the game might entertain you. It's not a bad game, as Expert has said. Like, it's a perfectly cromulent JRPG that's not really a JRPG. I mean, it is, like, at this point, JRPG is a genre that has no actual geography.
Sure. Which, right? I guess, to maybe segue into talking a little bit about where we would rank South Park: The Stick of Truth, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I was like thinking of where to maybe stick this, and I was thinking about, there's like the sweet spot that I found on this list that I feel pretty good about, and it's between Nier and Lunar Silver Star Story Complete. So like somewhere around there, because it's like, okay, so this is a JRPG, basically. It's an RPG of sorts. It's some sort of RPG. It's like the story is like going to be incredibly self-selecting, I think, whether or not you enjoy it. And mechanically, it's like, oh, that's kind of clever, but I wouldn't call it like revelatory or interesting. That sounds like Lunar to me.
Well, I mean, I'll give Lunar credit for not being like your major magic attack is like farting into your hand and then throwing the fart at your enemies.
You can say that about Nier as well, though.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's the kind of thing where I think even South Park fans can't find that particularly funny.
Yeah.
Where is Nier located on the list?
323.
Oh, wow. That's pretty far down.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Yeah.
It's got above Transantarctica somehow.
Look, yeah, we all know this list is nonsense. Science. Let's not draw attention to the nonsenseness of the list.
I was thinking of placing it higher, but I'm fine with it being down here.
I mean, yeah, no. Don't.
I think it sounds to me like my understanding is like Expert really likes the game mechanically. So can you give us an example, Expert, of what you think the game does particularly well from a gameplay standpoint?
Well, it's been like a couple years since I last played through it. I think ultimately for me, I'm a huge Paper Mario fan. Like the Thousand Year Door is one of my favorite games I've ever played. And it was really nice to see a new game that plays like Paper Mario. I wish more games took influence from Paper Mario. Like it has the timed hits mechanic and you have a main character you control with one party member who you can swap out who has their own abilities that can be used both in battle or out on the field. And I think it's really cool to see a new Paper Mario style game.
Do you ever have more than two people in your party at a time?
I think it's just you and one other person. Like you can recruit characters like Kenny or I think Butters, if I recall correctly.
I think you can recruit pretty much every other major character from the show, I think.
Yeah, I think like Stan and Kyle too, if I recall.
They're both drow elves, I believe.
Yeah.
And we haven't really even talked about like the concept of how the game works as a game. Like it does not deviate from the reality of the show in any way.
Yeah.
Let's just be clear. The kids are all LARPing. They're live action role players and they're all playing some kind of game where they all sort of agree on the rules, but they also hit each other with real sticks, I guess. The idea is that like, you know, they're playing this like Skyrim inspired or Lord of the Rings inspired game of sorts that has no real, it's Calvin Ball. It has no real rules, but it all takes place within the real world. And there's some weird crossover between the kids' imaginations and what actually happens in the real world, because the adults are on some level either really, really confused or willing to play along. It's not really clear. And I think it actually works really well because it makes the game feel more, it's not like a thing where it's like, oh, we're doing South Park characters, but they're in like, you know, Lord of the Rings land. You know, it's like, it is a South Park episode. And they've done episodes like this before where it's the kids' imaginations kind of at work.
Yeah.
And
there are some deviations here and there. Like, I think at the end of like the first day, all of a sudden you get abducted by aliens and now you're dealing with them. So that's like, they have some
occasional breaks from the
fantasy.
It's the reality of the show though, I think, right?
Yeah.
Because that's like in one of the very early episodes.
Yeah. The town of South Park has a mimsy to it. Everything is very touchable and real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like it doesn't break the reality of the show in any way, I think, is my point.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so just to make that clear. And I think that's pretty creative that they went that route, because it'd be really easy to do like a different thing where they're like, oh no, it's South Park characters are cameoing, you know, in some other kind of genre. And I think it's a cheaper way of doing, you know, I mean, it might work just as well, but it doesn't make the game feel like an episode of the show, whereas this game does. Mm-hmm. And so it's for fans, it's like really impressive because it looks and feels very much like you're controlling an episode of the show. I would put it a little bit higher, but not too much. I would say that it goes, I can't totally justify this, but I'm going to say below Devil's Crush at number, it would be the new 286 and above Independence War Deluxe. And that's primarily because I don't remember anything about Independence War Deluxe, but Devil's Crush is a kick-ass, like, video pinball game.
Hell yeah.
And below Independence War Deluxe is Deja Vu, which is not based on any licensed property or anything, but it is very much like a, like, we're going to use the tropes of some certain genre type thing and build a game around it that works perfectly within that. And I feel like it's, like, a little bit better than Deja Vu in the sense that Deja Vu doesn't quite feel like a, you know, generic film noir, but it gets really close. And South Park, The Stick of Truth feels exactly like a South Park episode that's just, like, 3.5 hours long.
And they'd go on to iterate in that MacVenture line to make better games kind of in that same milieu.
True, whereas
there's kind of nothing, except for the sequel, I guess, quite like The Stick of Truth.
The fractured butthole? Is that what you're referring to? Rectum-related joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is apparently...
I've just played Fractured Butthole yet, so I don't know how that compares to Stick of Truth.
I don't know either. I don't really care that much. If somebody nominates it, I'll check it out. I've heard it's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard it's like...
I have a friend playing it right now, and she's like, it's shockingly good. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah, that to me, like, I got to give a lot of props to... Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's... Even if you're not like a huge fan of the show, if you can kind of roll with the punches and just deal with like, oh, that's the humor of the show. Yeah. The game is good, which is more than you can say for a lot of licensed games. And it should be also be said that like, I do know that, Matt and Trey, the creators of the show, had been offered to do South Park games prior to this. They did some like right when the show was really new and they hated those games.
And they're awful games.
So, yeah, they are awful.
Very games. Bad. Go back and play South Park 64 if you want to see a very bad quite game.
I will not just stand idly while you disparage Chef's Love Shack. We've been over this, but no, it's terrible, and nobody should play it. And I feel guilty for even bringing it back up into your memory. But yeah, it's like they didn't allow the show to, I mean, they sold out all the time whenever possible, but they wouldn't do it for video games for a long time because they were so unhappy with the product that they got originally. Yeah. And so that's why they really tried to make this like, it has to be a good video game. And I do respect that.
Yeah. They,
I think they succeeded.
Yeah. Like if nothing else, it is cool that fans of a show that I don't necessarily like got something they like people having things that make them happy is like probably a net positive.
And it's exactly like the show.
Yeah.
So like, if the show makes you laugh, we're not saying like, oh, you shouldn't like South Park. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying like, it's not kind of our thing, but, if I definitely understand that this game is very much like the show and, so much so that there's a whole, like, I mean, I guess we got to say it, like the big running joke in the show is your magic is farts. And Cartman warns you at the very beginning, you never fart on another man's balls. And that's how you win the game, is you fart on somebody's balls. It doesn't make any sense. It's not particularly funny. And I think that's the joke, is it's so stupid that that's just what they do.
Yeah.
Fart on somebody's testicles and therefore you win the game. But that is the show. That's exactly what the show is like. And more power to you. Like, thank you for making a good game. So I think that's where it goes, right below Devil's Crush, right above Independence War Deluxe. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Expert. And thank you, listeners. We'll see you next time. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent, Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter, Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.